We are continuing this morning where we've been looking at the fruits of the Spirit. And I caught myself, the fruit of the Spirit. And I think that's important because what we're looking at is actually a picture of God. And I'm going to get there in just a minute, but as a way of opening, I want to let you know that I'm going to be talking generally about the fruit of the Spirit, okay, just generally speaking. But today our focus is on kindness. So I'll be going back and forth between kindness and, generally speaking, the fruit of the Spirit. And what I want you to take from this is that you met Jesus this morning. In John chapter 12, I keep saying, why do I enjoy coming and being with God's people and hearing God's word here? I think it's because in John chapter 12, during the Passover, some Greeks, whether they were Greek Jews or just Greeks, they came and they talked to Andrew and me. So we want to meet Jesus. And that kind of sums it up for me. My reason, and I hope your reason too, is that you want to meet Jesus this morning, whether it's in song or being encouraged by somebody or hearing his word. But may we all meet Jesus. That's my goal, okay? And if we could do that by simply thinking about some of the work that the Holy Spirit does in our life, that's wonderful. So we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, and specifically aspect of kindness. As a lead in, a short story, and I might have shared this with somebody before here. I'll just do it again. Years ago, when apartheid was the rule of the land in South Africa, a little kid and his mom walking down the street there in South Africa, I forgot what city it was, and another man was coming towards them. And so because the law of the land was that if you were black or colored, you got off the sidewalk, moved over into the street, and let the white guy pass. It didn't work out that way. This man, he got off the sidewalk. He got in the street. And he let them pass. And a little boy looked up to his mom and said, "Who was that man?" He says, "Oh, he's a man of God." I guess he was wearing his backwards collar. And he's a man of God. He's a minister with the Church of England here. And the little boy said, "Wow, you know, I want to be like that man when I grow up." He was so touched by that man's kindness. Obviously a minister of the gospel. So touched by that man's kindness. He didn't know anything about even who that man was. He didn't associate the gospel with this man or anything of that nature. He just knew that this man was very kind, and he acted in a way that he'd never seen a white person act towards these people, black people. And he didn't quite understand it, but he knew he saw kindness in action. And he said, "I want to be like that man." And he did. This little kid's name was Desmond Tutu. Yeah, maybe you know about him. He was turned out to be a bishop in the Church of England in South Africa. It was all a very complicated situation. But what he saw there changed his mind over the gospel of Jesus. He says, "I'm attracted to the gospel of Jesus because of this man's kindness." And so I've taken that as my theme this morning, that we have this fruit of the Spirit to adorn the gospel, the teachings of Christ, as Paul writes to Titus. He says the very same thing, and we'll get there. But think about that. Think about it as you're showing kindness or the other fruit of the Spirit. You're adorning the gospel of Christ to people who maybe don't know the gospel of Christ or the teachings, but they see in you that you did something kind. You're displaying kindness or patience or love, self-control. Maybe that's the only picture they have of God. And now I'm going to go back really quick, and this is our big theology lesson, a big word. Some of you know it. Incommunicable attributes of God. We know that, right? Okay, you people want to show off. Give me some of the incommunicable attributes of God. And as a hint, they're right here in front of you in Galatians. Right here. Verse 22. Shout it out. Let me know.
What?
Love. There's an incommunicable. Yeah, that's communicable. Excuse me. Communicable. Yes.
Omniscience.
Pardon me.
Omniscience.
Communicable.
Well, I thought you
were
talking incommunicable.
I'm sorry. I did. I have to correct myself because I'm not omniscient.
Good play.
What else? Okay, so we have love. We have
joy.
God is joy. God is peace. He's patient. He's kind. He's these things that we see in front of us. He is gentle. He's these things that when he created us in the garden, right? He wanted to communicate to mankind this a reflection of who I am. So he endowed mankind with certain characteristics that allow us to talk and communicate and understand who God is. So we can use these things, and we understand God is these things, and apparently, and it looks like it, the fruit of the Spirit are some of these communicable attributes. God is these things all the time. It's hard. We don't separate the facets of God. He's all these things all the time. And some of the incommunicable attributes of God. Now we can talk that. You had one.
Omniscience.
Other omnis. There's two more omnis that I know of.
Omnipresence.
Omnipresent. Omnipotent. And he's also self-existing. God is self-existing. These are things that we are not. God is sovereign. Now, we're not sovereign. We have little bits and pieces of these things, but we are not self-existing. We are not omnipresent. We can't be everywhere. We can't do everything. We're not. That's God, and there's only one. That's his domain, and we worship him and thank him for that. But That's maybe we'll see it in a different way, but for right now we only see through a glass, a mirror, kind of faintly, all these things that God is that we can't, and it draws us onward to see and understand more. But for now, we have this image within us, and what happened to that image of God that he created in us? And by the way, I didn't hear any of you say that one of the communicable attributes that he shared with us, that he gave to us, was immortality. Yes? Didn't he? Didn't last long. It was conditional immortality as long as we had access to that tree of life. And I don't know how they ate of it or how they partook of it to maintain their conditional immortality. But when they fell and that access to that tree of life was forbidden, the process of dying began for them specifically and for mankind generally. So we lost that. But as it so happens, we were given a creator who looked at us in pity, saw our condition, and allowed us to regain some of this image that was taken, that was destroyed in the garden. We have a redeemer. And in this life, he has made us fit for eternity, this Redeemer. He has saved us. He has pardoned us. He has now allowed us to have access to this God. And also, a Redeemer who, through grace, is committed to restoring as best as possible on this earth among broken people. What will never, Humpty Dumpty will never become put back together totally. But he is committed, through grace, to restore in us the image of God, those communicable attributes. We are capable of loving again as God loved. We are capable of desiring holiness and to be holy as he is holy. We are capable of being kind as God is kind. The Holy Spirit allows us now to find these attributes that were lost to be restored in us. That is what our Redeemer does for us. So, This is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we had patience. We have kindness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We have these. Let us not get too involved in seeing this is an exhaustive list of what it's like. You could look at 1 Corinthians 13 later on, go home, and Paul gives an explanation deeper as to what love is. And the first two things of love is patience, love is kind, right? Love is patient, love is kind. But wait a second, this is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So, you see, these things blend. There's a blending, it's hard for us, especially for those of you who are list keepers and want to kind of break everything down beautifully. God doesn't let you do that to him. He's loving, he's kind, he's holy, he's righteous, he's all these things at once. And it doesn't do us well to try to break down the list into disparate, discrete parts. He is all these things. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. So he is committed to restoring these things to you. How does this work? How does he restore the ability for you to show kindness? How does the Holy Spirit develop this fruit in you? Gilbert last week, at the very end, he mentioned two things. How does this happen? Patience. How do you do it? One thing he said, and it struck a chord in me, it's so obvious. You have to be close to God. You have to walk closely with God for these things to occur in your life. The hungry dog runs the fastest, right? The hunger in you for God will allow the Holy Spirit to a compliant soul, a willing spirit to work with. You have to have a sense that there's a fight for your soul, that you are guarding your heart, and part of guarding your heart is to allow God to develop in you, to redeem in you these qualities. Okay. John, if I can jump off of Gilbert, what you said, these things are developed as we walk close to God. Jesus gave another way of saying that. He said abiding, and that's kind of the way I see it. Abiding in him allows the Holy Spirit for you to bear fruit. He says, I chose you. He didn't choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit that would last. And what is this fruit? Well, we see a picture of it here. It's not so much things that you do. Many of us think we have to do things for God. Rather, you have to let God build in you his image. That's his job. That's the purpose, to be born and to carry his image to this world, to bear witness to him. The reflection comes off of you. And he builds that through his Spirit, through this fruit that comes from you. Remember, Jesus said, you abide in me. He is the vine. We are the branches, right? And that sap goes through us. And we then have this connection to the Holy Spirit for this fruit. And remember, we didn't choose him. He chose us to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. This is going to last, this fruit. So, for example, how do people bear this fruit? How does it show in real life? How does this fruit show in real life? Can you bear with me for just a second? I want to read something out of Ephesians. How does a slave, during the Roman days, how did a slave, we have to be a real example here. Are you a slave in the Roman days? How do you bear fruit? You're reading this. There were Christian slaves, and there were Christian masters. That's a difficult thing to do. How does a Christian slave bear fruit? You know, you may have an opportunity to go to a meeting somewhere, and Paul wrote this letter to a bunch of Christians in Ephesus, and now they're coming to a part towards the end of the letter, and he says, slaves. And so you're a slave there in Ephesus, and you're reading this letter that he wrote. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect, fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes are on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. So you're hearing this, and maybe, possibly, your master is in this group of Christians. I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. But you're there. You just heard this, and, oh, okay. Well, how about this as one of the fruits of the Spirit? Self-control. You're a slave. So it says here the Holy Spirit will give you the ability as you grant him access to your heart. to show self-control, to be faithful. You hate the fact that you're a slave, but God has called you to be faithful in the position that you're in, and you're going to be faithful to this master. You're going to be patient with this master, whether he's good or bad to you. You're going to learn to be patient, because it's not about him, your master. It's about you and God. And what is God desiring to build in you? And I militate against that. I don't really like that. But I have to deal with it and accept it as God's will. And if I were that slave, I would want to run away. And I would try to, you know, who knows? But I'm reading it now from this point of view. And I'm saying this slave was called to bear fruit. Fruit that would last. Hold on. Now, let's say you're a master and you have slaves and you're in Ephesus. Here's what Paul is writing to you. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Same way. So, reciprocal relationship. In the slave way, do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Oh boy, you're the master now. How are you going to show the fruit of the Spirit? What is going to be important to you as you deal with your slaves? You're going to show them gentleness. You're going to show them goodness and kindness. And the ultimate picture of that, if you want to read more about master and slave relationships and how God worked with that, you could read Philemon. Runaway slave. Remember in those days, runaway slaves, there were bounties on them. They were captured. They were branded. They had a collar put around their neck. They were either returned or they were put in the mines where they didn't last long, or they were put in the galleys where they rode till they died. Instead, Paul is sending Onesimus back to his master, Philemon, and said, treat him as you would, not just as a slave, but as a brother, as a man. So this is turning everything upside down. So a slave master is starting to learn, I'm being called to be a different kind of a person. And the slave is saying, I'm being called to be a different kind of a person. So this gospel is changing the way I deal with my master, and the gospel is now changing the way this master is treating his slave. It's really changing the Roman Empire one relationship at a time. And that's how God does business. One relationship at a time. One person at a time. Right? You are the most important thing to God. He is after changing your heart, your personality, through putting you, restoring you into the image of God. That's what he's trying to do here. Now, why is this important? Why does Paul ask these people? Maybe that's not even the right word. To direct them, command them to not gratify these desires, but to follow these. It's because there's three things going on here. It's not about us. It's not about you. Why be kind? Why be patient? Why be gentle? Why be faithful? Why? I mean, at least I ask myself that question. Well, why adorn the gospel? There's things going on. Number one, it brings glory to God. As you adorn the gospel, it brings glory to God. Not to you. People don't. Maybe they'll say, oh, he's such a nice guy, such a kind person. But those who follow and understand this, they bring glory to God, right? Because this is about God, not about us, whether it's, I don't want to, you know, make it that way. I'll get to you later. You'll have your turn up to bat. You will. But the most important thing is this brings glory to God. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's the point of it. The Holy Spirit is coming alongside you, developing these your new life. And your new life is a reflection of God, and the reflection of God is found in this fruit. It brings glory to God. An adornment is kind of like, let's say there's a beautiful jewel, right? Beautiful jewel. Well, the adornment for the jewel is that pillow, that little satin pillow, or maybe the beautiful trophy case that it's in, or the lights. But there's a way. The adornment for this jewel, the jewel is the jewel, but the adornment is the thing that presents it. It just makes it more attractive, right? So you are all wonderful people, those I know, and you all bring gifts to this assembly, but you're the adornment. The actual person, God himself, is what we're attracted to. But you can be that. You can be the adornment. You can be the thing that makes it attractive. Like that man who met Desmond Tutu and his mother. They were the adornment. They were adorning this larger thing that was bigger than any of them, God. See, you're the adornment. So it brings glory to God. It also blesses people. As you adorn the gospel with your patience, like Gilbert shared, with your love, with your kindness, these are gifts that you bless other people. Other people are blessed. God is honored. Other people are blessed. And guess what? Even you are blessed through this. I told you I'd get to you. So yeah, there's a good reason to do these things. God knows our heart. And as we shared in the breaking of bread, he knows our hearts. He knows our desire. He knows we're broken. And I shared a text that Beaver sent me a while back ago. It said, be kind to anybody you meet, because they are battling something that no one else knows about. Every one of you are battling something, or you're dealing with something. And God knows that. And so you need kindness. You need patience. You need joy in our interactions. God knows. He created these things to build a perfect society in the garden. And it's still there. Those things that build a perfect society are still within this realm of the fruit of the Spirit. And as we show that, yes, God is honored. Others are blessed, and you are blessed too, right? You will be, well, what did I say that Titus mentioned? You are going to be, in the future, judged for how you lived on this earth. I am too. And how we reflect Jesus Christ will probably be the number one thing. How did you reflect Jesus Christ? How did you portray me to the world around you? I mean, this is why we were saved. Yes, you're made fit for eternity. You've been pardoned. You've been given eternal life. I understand that. But we're still living here. What was the point of that? To reflect God, to be a witness to him. And through these gifts and this fruit of the Spirit, these are the adornments. These are the things that attract people to Christ through you. And the benefit goes to them. It glorifies God. And you're blessed through this too. Your ultimate, final, genuine purpose in life is to be an adornment for Christ. People look at you and they're seeing Christ in you growing. Right? That's what you do. We grow in Christ. So the Christ-likeness that adorns you is this fruit. And that's the fruit that adorns the gospel of Christ. We benefit from it. Society benefits from it. And God is glorified through it. He knows what's best for us, doesn't he? He knows that the reason why he's developing patience in you is not primarily for you. It's primarily as you witness here and you reflect God to others, that they sense, oh, God must be patient. God must be kind. God must be love. God must be joyful. These are adornments. And there are people who are attracted by that. You never know when it might affect you. You never know when it might affect somebody else. Unfortunately for me, there are evil people like me before I was a believer. I'll tell you how it affected me. It didn't so much attract me as that it made me think about God in a different way. I didn't become a Christian until I was 19. And I would meet these Christians. And I said, I can't be like these people. Because they had too much love and too much joy and too much kindness and they were just too good. I said, I can't be that way. So you see, I saw something in them. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in them. But it didn't attract me. But that was okay. Because now I know what God was doing. He was using their fruit of their spirit to convict me of my sin and my inability to please God. I knew that I couldn't reach him the way I was. You see? So it's okay. You never know how this is going to work out. You have no idea how much people watch us. You just don't know, but they are. And maybe we'll never know, and it's not our business to know. Our business though is to obey and walk in step with the Spirit. Give him a pliable heart. Give him a willing heart. Guard your heart. Save it for God. Allow the Spirit to have access and change it. That's all I have to say. Lord God, we are grateful for reading your word. To seeing that when you redeemed us, you chose us to go and bear fruit. And this fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, all these things. You're committed to take people who, and I have to keep thinking, who were enemies, sinful, ungodly. We were those people, and you chose us. You say, I'm going to redeem those people. I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to create in them my image. And we say, whoa, that is amazing, God. We thank you. We are weak vessels, but yet by the Spirit we are empowered to reflect your being to the world. May it ever be so. May we walk in obedience to these. And may we rejoice as we see each one of us become more and more the image of your Son. May you be honored. May we be blessed. And we